So let's find our place in Luke chapter 2 this morning. Luke's record of the first Christmas we just heard read to us. Can you believe it? Christmas is this Wednesday. This Wednesday. It seems like it was just Thanksgiving, doesn't it? And now it's Christmas. And my wife and I are looking forward, we're not looking forward to driving 10 hours on Christmas Day, but we are looking forward to where we're going, all right? And that's with our daughter Joanna and her family and being with four small children on Christmas evening. That will be fun. That will be a lot of fun. Carolyn and I, we really enjoy the traditional and festive side of Christmas. I put up the lights on the outside of the house. Okay, that's my job. And I like that. I enjoy that. I add more lights every year, and it's like, I don't know if I should do any more than I've already done, you know. Carolyn, on the other hand, she makes everything on the inside of the house look and smell Christmassy. And we really like that. We decorate three trees. I think we're going to stop with that. And then we put our gifts under the main tree, and then we hang stockings on the fireplace mantle, and on Christmas Eve, we fill the stockings, we get out the eggnog and the Christmas cookies, and we just enjoy Christmas Eve leading into Christmas. We also enjoy having others into our home over the Christmas time, and We like that. We like to share that. We especially enjoy having our family into our home. That's always fun when they can be here. And since they're not coming to us, this Christmas we're going to them. And we're looking forward to that. Those are good times. And I'm sure you've already experienced some good times surrounding Christmas. And we'll hopefully experience some good times on Christmas Day and leading into the New Year's. But let me just remind us that Christmas is not just about good times. It's about the good news. It's about the good news of the birth of Jesus Christ. You know, you can take away the lights and the cookies and the guests and the family, and you still have good news. Right? You still have good news. It's still Christmas. I almost hesitate to say this, but December 25th may not be the right date. And you know that. But even if that isn't the actual birth date of Jesus, it's still good news, right? I mean, you can even take the accuracy of the date away. And it's still good news. It's not critical to that. So here's what Christmas is. Christmas is a God-ordained, miraculous event that has eternal impact. A God-ordained, miraculous event that has eternal impact. Over 2,000 years ago. Let that sink in. But over 2,000 years ago, an angel of the Lord appeared to shepherds, temple shepherds, outside the city of Jerusalem. And this is what they said: "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people." So the effect of good news is what? Great joy. Okay? So when you think about Christmas, think about good news, and how should that affect you? It should affect you in terms of the joy that comes with good news. The great joy, not just a little bit of joy, great joy. And the extent of the good news is that it is for all the people. For all the people. Of all ages, of all cultures, And, you know, we have our oldest daughter and her family. They're in Nairobi, Kenya. And you know what they're going to do on December 25th? They're going to celebrate Christmas, just like we're going to do it here. Because it is a worldwide event that impacted the world for all of eternity. It's good news. The good news is actually a birth announcement. Now, how many of us just, it's like when you get a birth announcement or hear of a birth, you know, it's like, yay, you know, the baby's been born. But in this case, it was the birth of God's only begotten Son. It was the birth of the Messiah King. That was the announcement that came via the shepherds. By the way, 9 months earlier, the angel Gabriel appeared to whom? Mary, okay? So the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, the virgin Mary, and announced that she, a virgin, had been chosen by God to bear his son, and she would call his name what? Jesus. So that 9 months before Jesus was born, that happened. And then sometime after the angel appeared to Mary, he then appeared to Joseph, and he told Joseph the same good news, and that this would be Emmanuel, and he would be the Savior, and he would save his people from their sins. Joseph, that is going to be the boy that you are going to raise. Think about that. Christmas is about what's about good news, right? It is good news of great joy for all the people. So this morning, I want us to think of the Christmas gospel. Okay, let's put those two words together, Christmas and gospel, and let's think in terms of the Christmas gospel. It's a who and a why, and there's actually a what attached to it as well. But the who and the why of the Christmas gospel is a person and a purpose. Okay, the person is Jesus, the purpose is he shall save his people from their sins. And it's good news and it's good times. It's both, should be. Although sometimes, as is true with the Isaacsons and is true with the Gallmers, the good news and the good times has some sadness to it, has some sorrow mingled with it, but it's still good news. And good news about the Christmas gospel. So let's begin by asking the question, who is the main character of the Christmas gospel? The who of the Christmas gospel. Now, if you were to go out into our communities, whether it's Cedarville or Jamestown or Xenia or Bowersville, and you just did kind of an on-the-street interview, and you were to say, who do you think of when you think Christmas? Who do you think of, you know? You know, we might be a little bit chagrined over what the majority of people might say, because not everybody is going to say Jesus, although he is the who of the Christmas gospel. He is the centerpiece of the good news. But for some, when you say, so who do you think of when you think of Christmas, some would say Santa, not the Savior. Some would say Kris Kringle, not the Christ. Last night, Carolyn and I were sitting at home. I'd been out hunting, came back empty-handed, as usual. And we sat down for the evening, and we watched Miracle on 34th Street, which is a really old, really good movie. Unfortunately, they make too much of Kris Kringle and make nothing of the Christ. And that's the world in which we live, isn't it? It's about Santa, not the Savior. It's about Kris Kringle, not the Christ. Well, the who of Christmas, the who of the Christmas gospel is Jesus. All right, Jesus is the one who makes Christmas Christmas. He is the I Am. He is the eternal Son of God. Now, let's just pause there a minute and think about that. The who of Christmas is Jesus, and Jesus is the I Am. and Jesus is the eternal Son of God, which means he has been around forever. He's been around forever. And furthermore, he knows everything. Furthermore, he can do anything. Now, here's somebody who's been around forever. He knows everything. He can do anything. So let me ask you a question. Do you need help? Go to the one who is the Almighty God. Do you need a counselor? Go to the one who is the wonderful counselor. You're looking for peace? Go to the one who is the Prince of Peace. That's who Jesus is. That's who Christmas is about. It's about the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The who of Christmas is Jesus Christ, the Messiah. The Messiah. Israel had been waiting centuries for the coming Messiah. And when he came, they missed him. They could not believe that this could be the long-awaited Messiah. But in fact, that's exactly who he was. That's exactly who he is. By the way, his first advent, his first coming, was prophesied centuries before it happened. I want you to keep your place in Luke chapter 2, but go back to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, the first mention of good news is Genesis 3:15. Did you know that? It's actually called the Proto-Evangelium, which means first gospel, first good news. And it's found in Genesis 3:15. But before you can really appreciate the good news, you have to understand the bad news. So the bad news is in verse 14. Genesis 3:14 follows the fall of Adam and Eve and the depravity of man that came with the entrance of sin. And we read in verse 14, here's the bad news. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, because he led Adam and Eve, the image bearers of God, into sin and away from God and in rebellion to God, God said to that serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. That's the bad news. Here's the good news. Verse 15. And then God said, I will put enmity between you, the serpent, and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. And he shall crush your head, and you shall bruise his heel. That's good news. There's a huge difference between a bruised heel and a crushed head. The seed of the woman would crush Satan and sin someday. That's the first mention of good news in the Bible. That promises the coming of God's only begotten Son. Now, 800 years before Jesus was born, here's what Isaiah wrote. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. 800 years. And then 700 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Micah wrote these words, but you, Bethlehem Ephratah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient days. So Genesis chapter 3:15, the first mention of the good news, all right? 800 years before Jesus was born, another mention of the good news. 700 years before Jesus was born, another mention of good news. You know what occurs to me? The good news is old news. It's old news that's still good news. That for a lot of people in our lives is new news. Because whether you realize it or not, there are people in your families, people in your neighborhoods, people where you work, people where you shop, that have no idea what good news is, let alone who Jesus is. So it's old news, but it's good news, and it's new news to a lot of people. The who of Christmas is Emmanuel. It's God with us. And he was with us, wasn't he? I mean, I think sometimes, you know, we're so used to this. We're so familiar with Christmas and the birth of Jesus that we forget that was God with mankind. God condescended to our level. He stooped to our level. That was God with us for 33 years. God walked the face of this earth as a man. And for the past 2,000 years, he's been with us, right? He has. In the Spirit of God, he is with us. In the Spirit, he's with us. And when he returns, which could be before Wednesday, I know some of you kids are going, no, don't come before Wednesday, you know, I want to have Christmas. But you know what? If he comes before Wednesday, you will have Christmas. You will get him, all right, if you're in Christ. So, I mean, when he comes, those of us who are his, we will be with him forever. For we shall see him as he is, and we will be like him, and we will be with him. All because he's Emmanuel. The Christmas gospel is a who. It's Christ the Lord, the Savior for all sinners, and he came into this world because it is a world of sinners. And we have no ability in and of ourselves to change our depraved state. Only he can do that. Only he did do that in offering himself. And by the way, since all have sinned, since without exception, every human being ever born into this world is a sinner, and Jesus came as the Savior for sinners to save his people from their sins. You know what that is? That is good news, and that gives hope to every human being because we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus died for sinners. Jesus died for me. Oh, my word, I could be saved, and I was saved. Have you been saved? See? Have you been saved? You're a sinner, and that being true, you need to be saved. You need a Savior. Have you been saved? Jesus is the good news. And whatever else Christmas may mean to you, it is totally meaningless apart from him. Meaningless. It's just another holiday apart from Christ. The one who was conceived by the Holy Spirit in Mary's womb as the God-man. We'll talk in a minute how that happened, but again, let that sink in. The eternal Son of God, the creator of everything, the creator of the universe, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who is the Word that spoke everything into existence, that one was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the virgin womb of Mary and was birthed and couldn't talk and needed his swaddling cloths changed. That was God. It was God in the flesh. God as a baby. And the fulfillment of every Old Testament prophecy regarding his first advent. You know what you can count on? If Jesus, and he did, if he fulfilled every single Old Testament prophecy regarding his first coming, he will fulfill every single prophecy concerning his second coming too. He is the prophecy-fulfilling Savior. So why is he the real reason for the season, and why is he the centerpiece of Christmas? Why is there no Christmas without Christ? I mean, his name is part of the name. Christ, Christmas, okay? I mean, even an atheist has to acknowledge Christ when he says Christmas, right? It's part of that. You take Christmas out of, you take Christ out of Christmas, and all you have is mass or a mess. Okay? He's part and parcel of that. So the who of the Christmas gospel really begs the why. Why the Christmas gospel? Why celebrate Christmas? Why give presents? Why put up a tree? You know, why put up lights? Why draw attention to the fact that it's Christmas? Why do we do that? And I think sometimes as believers, those of us who are believers, we need to make sure that we're not just getting into the festive spirit here. And that's fun. I enjoy that. But why am I doing that? It's because of a person who came with a purpose. It's the who and the why of Christmas. It's not just some year-end holiday that we get off. Some of us, not all of us, get the Christmas off. Some of you, Sharon, you still have to work Christmas probably, you know. But it's not just so that the retailers can turn a profit, you know, because of Christmas and Christmas shopping and online and in malls and online and online and online. You know, there's just, that's kind of taken over everything, right? Christmas shopping. The who of the Christmas gospel answers the question, why? Why? The why of Christmas is our need of a Savior. That's why the who came. Because we needed to be saved from our sins. And the purpose is stated in three angelic announcements that are recorded by Matthew and Luke. And let's just look at those very quickly. Turn with me, just back a page if you're in Luke chapter 1, chapter 2. Just back to Luke chapter 2, well, 1. The angel's announcement to Mary, and we read about that in verses 31 to 34, but so the angel announced, verse 31, behold, he said, you will conceive in your womb, Mary, and bear a son, and you should call his name Jesus. Now, here's this young woman, probably a teenager. And she is betrothed, but there have been no physical relation here. And this angel, picture this, here she is, this young Jewish girl, and this angel appears. And it's like, okay, that'd be enough right there. An angel is talking to me. But listen to what he said to me. Verse 31, he said, do not be afraid. Well, I'm sure he needed to say that, right? Don't you know she was afraid? So just calm down, Mary. Calm down, okay? You have found favor with God. You know what occurs to me is that some people have found disfavor with God. But here's a woman that found favor with God. You found favor with God. You're chosen by God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. It's like, who? The who of Christmas answers the why of Christmas, because the who of Christmas is Jesus. And the angel said to Mary, he will be great. And that word great in the Greek is mega. Now think about that. I like to put it this way. Mary, the one in your womb is Jesus, the mega Messiah. I mean, the great one, right? He is Jesus who will be called the Son of the Most High, which means he's the only begotten Son of God. He is Jesus, the King of an everlasting kingdom, the Son of David, the house of Jacob. He will change the world order. He will rule and reign over everything. That's who's in your womb, Mary. You know, my wife has been pregnant 4 times. And it's like, oh, we're having a baby. And But I tell you what, we've had four blessed children that are now adults and married and children of their own. But I want to tell you something. We never had anything close to this told us when she got pregnant. It's like, we didn't even know it was a boy or a girl. Now, we're kind of back to that now, aren't we? You know, it used to be everyone wanted to know, and now nobody wants to know. And we didn't know. We couldn't know. They didn't have the equipment they have now. But here in this announcement is the whole litany of who this is and what he's going to be and what he's going to do. It's all laid out to this young virgin girl. Well, don't you think that would evoke the same question that was evoked in Mary's heart? How? Okay, I get the who. Hello? I'm a virgin. So how? And she wasn't doubting God's word. She was just wondering, how? How's this going to happen? And so the angel tells her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. That had never happened before. So this baby was going to be divinely conceived in the womb of this virgin. And then it goes on to say, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. In other words, there is no other way to explain what happened to Mary other than God. Amen. And I read this, and I think this was the second person of the triune Godhead that became a human being in the womb of a virgin, and that is just a miracle. And the other side of me goes, that's impossible. That can't happen unless the God with whom all things are possible does it. And he did. He did it. Then the angel announced to Joseph in a dream, Matthew chapter 1, we won't turn there, that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Joseph really needed to know that, because all of a sudden his fiancée is pregnant, and he knows he's not the father. And bless his heart, he's just trying to figure out a decent way to end this relationship. How do I do this? I can't believe Mary's pregnant. I can't believe that. And so one night he goes to sleep, and in a dream, an angel speaks to him and says, hey, Joseph, just so you know, that baby in Mary's womb, he was conceived of the Holy Spirit. And everything's fine. This is the way it's supposed to be. Okay, I don't understand this. But thank you. Thank you for telling me. You know. Who is this? It's Jesus. You're going to call him Jesus. Joseph, as he grows up under your roof, you're going to call him Jesus, which is from the Hebrew word Jehoshua, which means salvation is of the Lord. So every time Joseph said, hey, Jesus, grab that hammer, he was saying, hey, Jehovah, salvation is of the Lord. Whoa, that's who you are. You're the Savior. Hey, Emmanuel, I don't think Mary and Joseph ever said, Emmanuel, dinner time. I don't think they did that. But Emmanuel is a title. And every time they looked at their son, they realized that Isaiah 7:14 was fulfilled in him, and he, their son, is God with them. Is God with them. And yet he was a little boy. He was a baby. He was a little boy, and he was a toddler, and he was an adolescent, and he grew a beard, and, you know, all that happened. But he was God with them. He showed God to them. And he was very much a human being without sin, no sin. God with us, fully God, fully man. Thirdly, back to Luke chapter 2. Let's go back there. The angel's announcement to the shepherds who were outside of Jerusalem, outside of Bethlehem, on the night that Jesus was born, we have the announcement by the angel, verse 9, Luke chapter 2, verse 9, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear, and the angel said to them, like he said to Mary, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. So this is Jesus the Savior who came to rescue and to redeem sinners like you and me who otherwise would not be forgiven. We would live forever unto eternity in hell unforgiven if this hadn't happened. This is Jesus, the Messiah, the promised deliverer of Israel. This is Jesus, the Lord, who is the ruler. This is the Jesus who will make all wrongs right. He will correct everything. He will make everything the way it's meant to be. That is the why of the Christmas gospel. It's because of who Jesus is that we have the why question answered. He is Jesus. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. He is the Christ. Now, let me summarize by saying this, that the who and the why of the Christmas gospel really beg the what. Okay, that's who, and that's why. So what do I do with this? Because you have to do something. I mean, you can do nothing, but in doing nothing, you've done something. Okay? So the what is, what have I done with God's Son? What have you done with God's Son? That's the what. The only begotten Son of God, the Christ who is the Lord, and which is God's gift to us. So I dare say, come Christmas morning, or maybe Christmas Eve, whenever you do your gift exchanges as a family or with friends or whatever, if somebody says, Merry Christmas, here, you know, you're going to go, I don't want that. And the one giving it to you is going to go, it's a gift. Yeah, but I don't want it. It's for you, but I don't want it. But I made this with you in mind. I don't want it. A word. You're rejecting my gift? Yep. And people do that every day with the gift of God, who is Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. God says, here's my gift. I sent him for you. He died for you. It's a gift, freely given, freely received. And maybe there are some here this morning that up till this morning you've said, I don't want it. You don't want that gift? No. Really? I mean, the greatest gift of all, you don't want it? And God has given it freely, graciously. We don't deserve it, but he's, and you don't want it? Let me explain the good news. Let me explain the good news gift with just one word, and it's the word gospel, okay? So when you think of the gospel, think of this. God's only Son purchased everlasting life. Amen. That's the gospel. God's only Son purchased everlasting life. That's what he did. That's Christmas, right? That's good news. That's the gospel. That's the Christmas gospel. And so the who is a Savior, and the why is salvation, and the what is up to you and me. I mean, God has done it all. He has, it's the gift of God. It's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he holds it out. See, the who and the why is a, the who and the why is a gift to be received. To be received by people who need the Lord. And it's to be given by those of us who know the Lord. If you have received the gift of God, Jesus Christ, eternal life, you received it because you needed it. And now that you have received it, who are you giving it to? It's a gift to be regifted. Some of you are going to do that with some of your gifts. You know what? This would make a great gift for so-and-so. Or this, I've got five of these gift cards. I think I'll take one and re-gift it, and they'll think it's... No, don't do that, all right? Jesus Christ is God's gift to us to be re-gifted to others because he is the gift that keeps on giving and giving and giving. He is the indescribable gift of God. So 2,000 years ago, and by the way, here's another acronym, the word gift. Good news is forever true. So the gospel is God's only son purchased eternal life, and the gift is good news is forever true, all right? And here's what God did. 2,000 years ago, listen to this. God unwrapped his gift by wrapping himself as a human being. He unwrapped his gift by wrapping himself as a human being and gifting himself to you and to me. By the way, you know what the best gift is you can give? You know, the best gift you can give is you. That will mean more than anything tangible, material, or money bought. It's you. Or maybe something you've made, right? That's why we love the gifts that our children give us. And I remember when our kids were small. It was like, woohoo, this is like the best gift. What is it? But it's the best gift I ever. Thank you. Did you make this? Yes. Doesn't matter what it looks like or it was given as a gift. So the question I asked this morning is, have you received the indescribable gift of God, Jesus Christ? Have you received him? Have you believed on him? And if not, will you? Will you? Will you thank God for giving him to you, for loving you so much that he gave to you his only begotten Son? Would you receive that? And if you have, to whom are you giving the gift this year? And how are you doing that, you know, through... You know what I love to get? My wife and I talk about this. We love to get Christmas cards that have something in it, handwritten, that gives the gospel. You know, it's just like, yes, that's the message. Don't just send a Christmas card. Send the gospel. Give the gospel in whatever you send. Do that. And because that's sharing the good news. Let me ask you this. Who will hear the good news this year because you told them? Who will know the good news this year because you and I shared it with them? Because we individually, as believers in Jesus Christ, we are the conduit of a gift that just keeps on giving, right? and it's up to us to be shepherds that received the good news and couldn't wait to tell everybody in town what had just happened. Oh, my word, wait till you hear this, you know. Here's my fear. We're so used to it that we forget we're supposed to do something with it. We're supposed to share it. We're supposed to tell it. We're supposed to give it. And I say that to my own heart. I have neighbors just like you have. We're going to give bread to our neighbors, but we're not just going to give bread. We're going to give them the gospel. We're going to share the good news with them. So what have you done with God's Son in your life personally? Have you received Him as your Savior? If you have, how are you regifting Him in the lives of others? There are people you know, people you love, people you live next door to, people you go to school with that need the good news. They need the good news. Let's pray.